Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We are back. We are stoked. We had a great week from the Kansas basketball team. Winning a couple games, Andrew. Things are starting to turn around. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good. I think this was the best week we could have asked for. We have a week off, like during the week, so this is a week to get right. This is a week to do a little mini boot camp. And, you know, after a Bill Self team comes out of a mini boot camp, usually good things happen. Going into a big game in Lubbock this weekend, I think we're on the upswing. And I think this is the perfect time to be peaking. We didn't want to peak in December. We didn't want to peak in November. Had a little January troubles, but now we're on the right track. I think people have to be feeling better, right?
Gotta be. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of good things happening right now. Apologize for my voice. I am not feeling better. I've been fighting a cold, Andrew. I am all kinds of popped up on medication, including, I don't know what, prednisone is apparently something that keeps you up at night. And I've got all kinds of prednisone flowing through my body this past week. So my issue is this, you know, I'm up all night and I'm, you know, I gotta be productive with my time. So I decided to write and finish a song about Mitch Lightfoot during that
time. Well, a few things. You don't have to be productive during your time up at night. You don't have to be, you just chose to be. So I you've been trying to write this song
since the TCU game. No, TCU game.
So So you were on Twitter and you were like, guys, gonna write a song about Mitch Lightfoot.
Yeah.
Gonna happen. And then everybody's like, is he okay? Is he okay? Nope. Gonna do this. I'm gonna write a song about Mitch Lightfoot. And then I got texts back and forth. Okay, what should I talk about with Mitch Lightfoot? And I'm like, he's tall. He's from Arizona. He was born in Kansas City. I don't know.
I didn't incorporate any of your suggestions, by the way.
Well, I didn't expect you to. You did it.
I did it.
You said
in the middle of the night.
I think you recorded it. I don't know when you recorded it. Maybe today.
Over lunch
You sent it to me today. I listened to it. And I'm like, okay, we're going to put this on the podcast tonight. We're going to talk about it. So just to give some of you folks some background, longtime listeners of the Jayhawk Talk podcast will remember a song that Kevin wrote several years ago about Hunter Mickelson.
Another gangly white guy.
Right. It seems like you have a theme here. You might need to release a little EP here of just maybe throwback Eric Chenoweth.
Oh, we just did it at the same time.
You know, just like, you know, the guys like that. Yeah. I mean, Sasha Khan's too good to be involved in that. You know, just guys like that. Yeah. So, you know, Jeff Withey's good, but Jeff Withey deserved the song. You should have written a song for Jeff Withey back in the day.
Yeah, but he had a lot going for him. He had the Twitter account, you know, right. Ty was running that. He had a lot going for him.
Mitch is really hot right now. Mitch is hot in the streets. So Mitch needed this song. So in the vein of Ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson, a song I think you released in 2015 on this here podcast. I think you can go back and listen to it on the Final Four playlist that we released March.
I forgot about that.
You can go back to the Final Four playlist and listen to Ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson. It's somewhere in that playlist. It's in the podcast feed. But anyway, you went and did a song about Mitch Lightfoot. And Kevin, I don't even know what the song is called.
I'm Mitch Lightfoot, I think is what I'm going to go with.
You're going to go with Mitch, I'm Mitch Lightfoot.
Yeah, like kind of a play on Bitch, I'm Frank Mason, but instead it's Mitch, I'm Mitch Lightfoot.
Mitch, I'm Mitch Lightfoot. Okay,
it's kind of hard to say. It's actually really hard to say. It's harder to sing, actually.
Yeah, okay, but anyway, it comes off well. So I think in the chorus you're saying Mitch, I'm Mitch Lightfoot. There's a lot of good stuff here, but let's just listen to the song, debut it here.
Okay.
You know, a little making the video, debuting now.
So a quick thing about this, I didn't know what sort of style to do a song about Mitch Lightfoot in. That was my struggle. You know, I can do all the styles, Andrew, of course, you know. So it was very difficult. And so I asked Twitter, what is the song? What is Mitch Lightfoot? You know, what's he like? What do you think this should work?
Should have been reggae.
That'd have been good. Reggae Mitch is the next Twitter handle that's going to be out there. Everyone said he likes country, and that's the one thing I'm not very good at. So,
but also the two things you've done.
No, the other one was like a dashboard confessional ballad.
Is it?
I don't know. Mitch, or what
it
was
starts
it? Hunter,
off.
Hunter Mickelson is a love song.
Yeah, but it starts off way down in an Arkansas town. Like, that is an opening to a country song.
That's true. But, you know, he was from an Arkansas town. All right. Anyway, the point is, I wrote this. It's got like a little Clint Black / maybe a little Tenacious D, which a lot of my songs end up that way. And then like some Nickelback somehow got in there. Does it feel like that to you? I don't know. There's like a
It's like a
Nickelback rock star feel to it on accident. I don't know how that got. Anyway.
Yeah.
But just hang with it. We'll see what you guys think. All right. So let's debut the song here.
Debuting live here on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You might recall how the season started out a little slow. They were struggling to find their way. No dope, no joke, no Silvio. Well, that's until Coach Self had a dream that led him to a switch. And it saved the season, and I'll tell you the reason. Came down to a guy named Mitch. Well, all of a sudden his hustle and his hootie muscle stopped that mid-season funk. And I'll be damned if Mitch didn't tell the boys they're allowed to dunk. His dry hard marks are off the charts. He fits crimson and blue and his big old heart. He wears the 44 jersey, call it a heartache. His box goes full, he's the model teammate. With no easy buckets up in his paint. You want a backdoor dunk, he's there to seal. His mouth got you, has sex appeal. More renewable energy than a Green New Deal. Oh, Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Oh, saying now, Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Well, some call him Martini Room Mitch for his swag, his game is sharp. He don't go to the boom boom room, don't want to headline Napier Tharp. Well, others call him Prison Mitch, purple rag, he sticks to the code. So don't snitch on PC around Mitch, or you'll get what you are owed. Well, Snacks once said you can cut him open and a Jayhawk will fly out, and he ain't joking. He wears a 44 jersey, called in a heartache. His box goes full, he's the model teammate. Well, no easy buckets is what he'll say. You want a backdoor dunk, he's there to seal. His mouth got you, has sex appeal. More renewable energy than the Green New Deal. Oh, Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot. Oh, sing it now. No easy buckets, no easy buckets, no easy buckets. No easy buckets, no easy buckets. Your mother, I can sit there, no easy buckets up in his brain. He's a dunk rejector, soul collector, swag injector, stack a decker, breaking necker, Hannibal Lecter, play effector, ball deflector, dunk erector, aphrodisiac, the season resurrector, March Madness, and Big 12 Street Protector, Rich! Got 5 fouls to give. Mitch, I'm not foot, Mitch, I'm not foot.
Mitchum Lightfoot, Mitchum, Mitchum Lightfoot, Mitchum Lightfoot, Mitchum, 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 Mitchum Lightfoot. Mitchum, Mitchum Lightfoot, Mitchum Lightfoot, Mitchum, Mitchum Lightfoot, Mitchum Lightfoot, oh, Mitchum Lightfoot.
What do you think?
Well, okay, Kevin, I have thoughts. I have some thoughts here. First of all, good job.
Thank you.
I think the Jayhawk Nation will rally behind this and fully support this artistic endeavor. It's pretty funny. I think this was your number one hit. I think that you've topped yourself from Mamam Hunter Mikkelsen, but we'll see. I want to wait to see what the people say. I want to talk about a couple lines here. I have a couple of favorite lines.
Okay.
First of all, I think the beginning was very strong. The no dope, no joke, no Silvio. This just has a good flow to it. Some good flow. And then it flows right into it. Came down to a guy named Mitch. I want to skip to the end now.
Okay.
I think the most important thing about Mitch, got five fouls to give.
That was my favorite line too.
And I think that's when you said that one, I think that's when I realized, like, yeah, this is Tenacious D more than anything.
Sorry.
Yeah, because you started off like, you know, okay, kind of like a country, but it really just turned into like your Jack Black impression.
Yeah, sorry. That will happen from time.
And there's
to
nothing time. Wrong with that. No. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Any reference to Hootie Muscle, I support.
Okay.
There's some Twitter call outs to Prison Mitch, mm-hmm. which I don't really get, but I don't care. That's fine. Yeah. I think someone just took like the prison mic from The Office and made it Mitch Lightfoot,
which is fine.
I mean, if it's nothing more than that, then that's what it is. Let's move on. I've got two favorites, but one is a clear winner. This one is not the winner. More renewable energy than the Green New Deal. Topical. Pretty funny.
Topical if nothing else.
Topical if nothing else.
You want and a backdoor dunk, he's there to seal. More renewable energy than the Green New Deal. Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. And then can you guess my favorite line?
I might have thought that was going to be your favorite line. Hang on, let me think about it. Snacks?
No, I like the snacks one.
Not the snacks
that's
line? Okay.
That's not my favorite. No.
Okay. I got nothing. What is
it? Like, well, don't go to the boom boom room. You don't want to end up like Nate Rosart.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, yeah.
Some call him Martini Room Mitch for his swag game is sharp, but he don't go to the boom boom room. Don't want to end up like Nate Rosart. Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
That's my favorite line. That's
all right,
good.
I'm glad
that's one. So, hey, this is very good work, Kevin. Now, with Ma'am, I'm Hunter Mikkelsen. You did not put this out anywhere other than the podcast. Is that the plan for this?
I think so. What do you think? I think we make people come to the podcast if they want to listen to it or fast forward through it, if that's the case.
We'll see. We'll see if there's a demand for it. And if we make it to the final four or not, we might do another playlist sometime down the line. They can wait for that.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a music video, if that's what you're asking, unless Mitch wants to be in it. And in which case there will be a music video.
I'm not sure that Bill Self would let him do that now.
Yeah.
They're a little busy, but you know, you never say never. Yeah. He's probably got some time. Spring break's coming up.
That's true.
When he's not practicing, he could be. Now, what would this music video be?
That's a good question.
Other than his highlights.
Because
you don't want it to be like, you know, all due respect to our host or our outro music, BEE, but his music videos were just like him at the top of the Oread singing with a bunch of girls. Like, I don't think that would work for this video.
Yeah, I think you're right. I kind of like the idea of him like in a tux holding a martini, though, like part of it. Like, I see that part in there somewhere. But other than that, I got nothing.
I kind of imagine like a like a dusty road, you know, a country road, when you see this like old pickup truck, you know, coming down the road, kicking up dust, and you see like an old school basketball court out in this field, like cement with a, you know, kind of a net that's a little ratty out there standing on the court is Eric Chenoweth and Hunter Mickelson, and Mitch gets out of the truck and has a ball in his hand. He's like, want to play?
and then the song starts right there. Oh, yeah, I love that. Oh, my God. All right, never mind. We are going to do a music video. Oh, that was good. That was good. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Let us know what you think of the Mitch song. You can be honest. I can handle it.
All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, so let's just give a little rundown of what we're going to talk about in the real portion of the podcast, not the the Mitch Lightfoot portion of the podcast. We are just going to do a little recap of the past couple games, but we're going to move on because you all want to talk about the future, because the future is bright for these Jayhawks. We're going to talk about some Big 12 and our path to victory. It's not going to be easy, and you know, K-State is kind of in the driver's seat here. Kind of talk about some Player of the Year, Coach of the Year stuff. Briefly touch on some bracketology. Have some wrap-up thoughts on LeGerald Vick, and then kind of close that out at the end. Is that good, Kevin?
It sounds good to me, Andrew. Let's jump into the past week. We saw, since we last talked to you, I think we last talked to you on Sunday. That was right before that Monday game down at TCU. Was looking really good for a while there, Andrew, and then maybe not so good, and then really good again. That was a crazy game, and it was obviously a must win for Kansas. Awesome to come out of there with the W, another kind of heart attack Hawks game, but got the job done. You know, Dotson was so good, and then he was awful for like 2 minutes, and then he was awesome again. So a crazy game, but what's your kind of reaction to that one?
Well, Devon Dotson, I think, really came out as leader of this team in this game. He played 45 minutes. Yeah. He played every single minute of that game. Ochai played 41, which is also a little strange that, you know, this guy's only, you know, a handful of games into his college career and playing 41 games in a game we had to have in order to be competitive in the Big 12 race. You know, three guys fouled out with five fouls. You had Mitch, and who else fouled out? Quentin Grimes fouled out. And then David McCormick almost fouled out in 17 minutes, which, you know, five fouls to give, right? Five fouls to give. Use them all up. So that was a game where we had to have, we were up, and then we, you know, faded in the last 5 minutes, but, you know, came back to tie. And then, you know, in that overtime, really pulled out. And I think Devon Dotson, MVP of that game.
Really? See?
Oh, yeah.
I would have expected you to pick someone else's MVP for that game.
He had 25 points in that game.
I understand that, and he's my MVP and probably everyone else's MVP, but I'm surprised that you didn't pick someone else to be the MVP.
Ochai?
Your boy KJ.
Oh!
It's the game-tying shot. All you want to do is talk about KJ this whole goddamn podcast, and now you're the one opportunity you get. You don't do it.
Oh, well, the West Virginia game, he had 15 points, which we're going to talk about West Virginia game was a blowout from the beginning. And I think the biggest takeaway I have from this, other than KJ, which we will talk about in a second, the biggest takeaway is how did we lose to this team in Morgantown?
God. Yeah, that's brutal. I don't know. I actually didn't watch most of the game. I was in California on vacation, if you might recall, Andrew. I was actually texting you like, what is going on? I think you're saying,
oh, the first game. Yeah.
Yeah. We're playing really bad. I'm like, oh, okay. But even though it was still like a 6-point game with a couple minutes to go, and then brutal. I did not go back and watch it because I did not have any interest in doing that. So, but this game, Andrew, a little bit different that, you know, they were without some personnel, compared to the first game. I guess we were too, but, that was a very different story in Allen Fieldhouse.
And also KJ Lawson, 2 for 3 from, or 3 for 4 from three, had 15 points. Probably not the MVP, but really, he was the MVP of that game.
Maybe. I mean, he's pretty darn efficient. 5 for 7 for 15 points. You can't beat that.
In all due fairness to him, I think he's come along, you know, this last, you know, half of the Big 12 season or into February. I think he'll be necessary. Whereas in December, January, November, December and January, if KJ wasn't on the team, it wouldn't have really mattered. But he's kind of come along. And I think into March, I think he could be one of those, you know, March guys that could come in and get some hustle plays and get some, you know, Bill Self, you know, mean guy, big guy, Jeff Gravesy, Darnell Jackson, Jamari Traylor type of guy, you know, guy who's not going to be the, you know, best player on the team, but a guy who needs, if he needs to get a rebound, get a foul, he can come in and do that.
He's that guy, except he really wants to shoot the ball a lot more than those guys did.
He shoots a three pretty good. He's pretty wet from three, Kevin.
Pretty wet from three. You know, he played more minutes than Quentin Grimes did in that game, in that West Virginia game. So I'm just saying.
It was a weird game. I still want to stand up for my boy, Quentin. But, and I think he's got a big March coming too.
Hope so.
But he's got to get going.
Got to get going. All right, Andrew, that was our recap. 2-0 week, got 3 in a row that we've won now. And obviously an enormous one coming up on Saturday. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, Andrew. But let's also take a peek at the rest of the Big 12. And, you know, the good news is, Andrew, if we win out, we get a share, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's
if we win out, I mean, we're one game behind K-State and we play K-State at home.
Yep.
The problem is that we play Texas Tech in Lubbock on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a tough game, but we have a whole week to prepare for it. They have a whole week to prepare for it. So it's going to be two teams ready to go to war for the Big 12 crown, because Texas Tech isn't out of it either. If they get that win, they're going to be in a good spot to catch K-State if we beat K-State.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to happen to have happen here. It's kind of a three horse race. Possibly Baylor or Iowa State. They're a game behind Texas Tech and KU at this point. But you know, there's a lot of good teams here, and a lot to have happen. So there's five games left. Let's just walk through the rest of our schedule. We have three away games and two home games. We have Texas Tech at Lubbock this Saturday, and then we have next Monday K-State at home. Obviously, with the Texas Tech game, maybe the biggest game left. Then we have two games away against the Oklahoma schools, and we close off the season with Baylor at home. Let's just walk through these. What are your thoughts on the Texas Tech game?
KenPom has this as a 6-point dog. Kind of probably, if that was the number, I think I'd take Kansas, because I think it's probably a little closer to a coin flip, and then you give them maybe an extra point or two, but for being at home. But I think that's a fairly close game. We beat them pretty good at home, which was nice, and that we kind of really got going in that game, made a lot of shots. But it's gonna be different down there. But I don't know, Andrew. It's a different feel right now. It feels like we really kind of clicking a little bit. I think that we have a decent chance to win. Now, they've won 4 in a row. They're not messing around either. But their last four games have been, you know, against West Virginia and the Oklahoma schools and Baylor at home. So it's not like they've been playing the top echelon teams. But I feel pretty good. I at least think it's a 50-50 game, and that's really all you can ask for, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, 50-50 is tough when you're playing against a ranked team at their place. But I think there's a lot of momentum on our side. Like, this team has finally figured out kind of how it's going to play, who's going to play, who's going to be their scorers, who's going to be their supporting cast. It's taken almost 4 months to get there. I think we had a completely different looking team and playing team at the beginning of the year than we do now. But, you know, finally we've got there. I mean, Oche is a part of that. Diedrich's a part of that. Dotson, has developed a leadership role, and, some guys have exited, and who knows what's going to happen with Marcus Garrett. But in terms of Marcus Garrett, if he comes back and plays on Saturday, he doesn't start, right? I mean, he was starting.
No, but I don't think so. That doesn't mean he won't earn that spot back, because there's a chance, I guess, he could if he plays well.
But they are clicking right now. I think you give him Charlie Moore's minutes, he probably takes some of Quentin Grimes' minutes. But I don't think you can take Ochai or Devon off the court, right? Under any circumstances right now. I mean, so he's playing reserve roles, but he's going to play 20 to 25 minutes, right? Don't you think?
Maybe. It's the team's just been playing so well without him. I mean, but he's obviously got that elite defensive skill that he can bring to the table. You know, when he's full strength, he's going to be playing that. But I don't know what he'll play, you know, coming back on Saturday if he plays. But then we've got the showdown against K-State at home. Obviously, we need that one. Do you know any update about Cartier Diarra or Dean Wade? Did you look into that?
No, I have not. You know, obviously, they played in Morgantown. You know, I didn't really – I was kind of surprised that they played, especially Dean Wade. Well, I guess Dean Wade played. If you heard the kind of post-game and then I think recent comments from – Bruce, it was something like, first we got a foot thing and now we got an ammonia thing and now we've got a whatever thing, we can't even field a team to practice. That was kind of the quote, and I responded and said, it's either a leg thing or, you know, the Major League Two quote. Anyway, thank you. The point is, yeah, I think they're beat up, but you know, everybody's beat up this time of year. I think they're gonna play.
Yeah, and this is the time of the year where Bruce Weber starts to get a little,
oh my God,
a little cranky. a little cranky, Bruce, a little Crankenstein and Bruce Weber.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're at home. I think we got to feel real good about that game. If we beat Tech, I think we beat K-State. If we lose to Tech, I think we still probably beat K-State, but I think it's going to be closer. I think K-State's really good. If they're right, they're really good. They got seniors. They're obviously playing together really well right now. If some of it might come down to, you know, health, I guess, but playing us at home, you know, I think we're going to try to get one back from them for what they did in Manhattan.
Yeah, I agree. You know, beyond that, we go to the Oklahoma schools the next week, both away. I think Oklahoma is the real one to look at here. They're a projected tournament team, you know, because it's a pretty weak bubble, but they are a projected tournament team. Oklahoma State's pretty feisty, too, even though they field only 7 scholarship players. You know, they kind of give us a run at home. But, you know, I think that we can take care of business there. And then we end up with Baylor at home. You know, we did beat Baylor in Waco early in the season. We didn't think that win was worth much, but it's ended up being, you know, pretty valuable as we coast down to the end of the year. I mean, Baylor's somehow, and we're going to talk about Coach of the Year here in a second, but Scott Drew might actually win it this year.
Maybe.
He might deserve it. That's different. He might actually deserve it. Let's just close out with K-State's schedule. Just to kind of give you a peek, Oklahoma State at home, they should probably take care of business there. They play us, in Lawrence. Then they go, they play Baylor at home, at TCU, and then OU at home. So in terms of potential places for them to lose, you know, maybe at TCU, that's a tough game. And then at Kansas, but, you know, it's a good team. They're going to be favored to win all those games except for KU.
TCU, I think. At least on KenPom, they're a 2-point dog at TCU.
Two-point dog. So, I mean, that's a 50-50 game, or yep, almost 50-50 game. So those are their potential hiccups. All that to say, we've got to beat K-State and we've got to beat Texas Tech in order to win the Big 12. Like that's what we have to rely on. We can't rely on K-State to lose any more games.
Yeah. You're exactly right. It's really, it comes down to us, right? This is the good thing about all this is we control our own destiny. If we lose to Texas Tech, or if we lose to one of those Oklahoma schools or whatever, Baylor, we didn't deserve to win it, right? We are in a position to control our own destiny. That West Virginia loss stings because we probably should have a little bit more cushion than we do, but frankly, we don't. And everybody loses a bad game in the Big 12, and hopefully some of these other teams that are up on the top with us will lose another bad game, and we will not. But I think it really does come down to the trip to Lubbock and beating K-State. And if we do those two things, you know, I think you can take care of business. Do you think K-State will lose another game Or do you think K-State, if I said over under 1.5, do you think K-State's going to lose one or two games or more?
I'll just say that Bruce Weber's crankiness will cause them to lose another game. So at TCU, they lose. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably right. I mean, if I set the line at 1.5 and you force me to take a pick, I think I would probably take the over as well. And, you know, health is part of it. Bruce is some of it. Seeing teams pee down their leg late in the season when, you know, Kansas is threatening to take the title seems to happen a lot. Someday right. it's not going to, but
we say the words pee down the leg, and that's happened to a lot of teams before, but like what pee down the leg really means is you lose your physical strength, you lose your mental strength because it's just a grueling Big 12 season. And it's those teams that can really withstand that. And Bill Self teams have always been able to withstand that. They can be standing there at the end, you know, with a strong team, whereas other teams are kind of breaking down. And you kind of see that a little bit here and there with some of these other teams. You know, Iowa State lost at home last night. Texas Tech lost a couple a little earlier. And, you know, K-State, you know, lost to Iowa State, you know, earlier this weekend. So just something to keep an eye on. And obviously, we're all keeping our eyes on the next two games, Saturday and Monday. But let's move on and talk a little bit about kind of Big 12 stuff. And maybe this is an easy question for you, but if you had to pick Big 12 player of the year right now, you would pick?
I think I'd give it to Ochai Agbaji.
Ochai.
Probably Ochai. Yeah.
Probably deserves it, right?
Yeah.
Hasn't played.
No, I mean, probably Diedrich. I think his numbers kind of bear that out. There's obviously been some guys that have, you know, been really good in the Big 12, but I don't know. I mean, Culver's been good. Barry Brown's been really good. But I think Diedrich is probably the guy, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, he's leading the Big 12 in points and rebounds. Like that's they look at stats. They look at who's leading the league in this, who's leading the league in that, and that's what they're doing. So they're going to pick him. I think it's almost a no-brainer, but really when you get down to picking the top five, picking the first team, I think it gets a little more difficult. I think you got Shayok from Iowa State. You've got Culver from Texas Tech. Somebody from K-State's got to represent probably Barry Brown because he's been the most healthy, even though Dean Wade probably deserves it. And then that fifth spot, you know, who knows? It could go to, you know, somebody from Baylor, maybe that guy who shoots a bunch of threes, the guy from Yale.
Yeah.
Maybe Desmond Bain from TCU, or, you know, could be a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wide open. Who's your coach of the year?
If K-State wins, it's Bruce Weber. If K-State, you know, let's say KU wins the league, and ties with K-State. Let's just say they tie with K-State. I still think it's probably Bruce Weber. Maybe Scott Drew.
Maybe Chris Beard.
Maybe Chris Beard, but because he wasn't expected to have a great team.
The expectation game is always what you look at, right? I mean, unless someone just goes bonkers. And Bruce Weber was supposed to have a hell of a team. He's supposed to have a really good team. All seniors, returned everybody from an Elite Eight team. I mean, that team on paper should be good, and it's good. So do you give it? I don't think so. I think you go either Scott Drew or Chris Beard. And I think I give it to Chris Beard. And maybe that's a Scott Drew problem, but I think it's one of those two, but at least my opinion.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Or Bill Self, if you lose all these guys and you go on to win, Bill Self, baby.
Yeah, Bill Self wins it in weird years. Like he could win it in every year. It's just some random narrative pops up where people are like, oh yeah, Bill Self deserves to win this year, but it really is out of anyone's control. It's just what some columnist in Oklahoma City wrote about that.
It's usually when we lose five starters is when he wins the Big 12 Coach of the Year. Cause then they go, oh wow, return zero starters from last year's squad. And then we won Big 12. And then they're like, oh, that should be that guy. Then it seems like that happens a lot.
Yeah, but then there's been other years where he just has killed everybody and won it. It's just it's a weird way to do it.
Yeah.
Because there's been a year where he won National Coach of the Year and didn't win
Big 12
Coach of the Year. That, I can't remember when that was. That was 2012 maybe.
Something like that.
2009, whatever it was. All right, let's do some closing thoughts on LeGerald Vick.
Ooh.
Or do you want to do bracketology?
I don't care. You pick.
Let's just do a quick bracketology while we're talking about the Big 12.
Okay.
I went to a website called Bracketology Matrix.
Ooh.
And it is a conglomeration of all the bracketology websites that are possibly in existence and aggregates them as they update them. So we are currently aggregated to be the highest three seed.
In the Midwest? Sounds good.
It doesn't say where, but you'd assume it would be because it'd be the highest three, with a handful of outlets putting us as a two, and even a few at a number one, which is crazy. I looked at some of those. They were just like random blogs, but they do aggregate like everything. I think ESPN has us as a three currently. What do you think is realistic? Let's say we win out and then lose in the semifinal of the Big 12 tournament. What do we end up as?
Probably a two or three.
I think two. I mean, one is out of the question, but two is something we can shoot for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we kind of turn things around, I don't think we necessarily need to win the Big 12 tournament to get there, but I think we need to win the Big 12 to get there.
Yeah, I think you're right. The one line is pretty tough. The two line though is a little bit more volatile. I think. I mean, you got Michigan State, Michigan, North Carolina. We'll see what happens tonight. But you know, teams like Houston, Marquette, Purdue, LSU, like those are ones that I feel could go anywhere, right? I guess we'll see what happens down the stretch. Nevada's in there too. So I personally, just looking at the two and three bubble line, if you will, I feel pretty confident that at worst right now, I think KU is probably going to be a three. I mean, unless something just tragic happens down the stretch here, which is, you know, pretty good. I think we would have taken that, you know, three or four games ago, looking at where we were. I think we even had this conversation, and I vaguely remember we set the line, the over under seed line, either it was it at three. I think we said
three and a half,
three or three and a half. I can't remember, but it was right in there. And at least now we've turned things around a little bit, probably feel a little bit more comfortable about getting on that line. And really, Andrew, all that matters to me, I'm not sure I care where we're at as long as we're in the Midwest.
Right. As long as we end up in that Kansas City,
yep.
Sweet 16, Elite Eight potential. You know, we don't want to go to Anaheim. We don't want to go to wherever. We want to stay in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think so too. And this is kind of tricky because we've got a team that I think a lot of people would go, they're not even going to make it out of the first weekend. Like it seemed, that's certainly what KU Twitter was saying a week ago. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I care, you know, what seed line we're on, because if we make it out of the first weekend and we're in Kansas City, like, great. Now, like, you know, we can handle it, what comes next. And if we end up playing Duke in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four, that was a pretty freaking good season. And if we lose, I mean, you know what I mean? So I'm not worried about that at all. I am total house money if we end up in Kansas City in the Sweet 16.
Right. And I think that's what we've got to hope for, regardless of seed line. And, you know, it could be weird because, you know, if you are a three seed, you're not necessarily going to get as much of a preferential treatment as you would as on a two or even a one. But, you know, we'll see. A couple other folks, maybe, you know, we're going to be competing with like Michigan, Michigan State for that spot,
right,
depending on the other regionals. But usually we compete with them, maybe even Kentucky. But I'm sure there's going to be a Southern regional that's closer. I've got to take a look at it. All right, let's talk about LeGerald Vick. And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but, you know, just short question for you. If he says, okay, ready to come back, handled my business, is that a good thing for this team?
I think if Bill Self lets him back, then I think you got to trust him. I think at the end of the day, I don't know if this is Vic's call or Self's call. And you know what I mean? Like, it seems like, you know, if you hear like Fran Fischilla talking that on the last game, did you listen to that?
Yeah. Why would he say that? I mean, he's almost reporting it. Like, this is news. This would be information that has not been previously discussed in the public.
Yeah. So for recap, if you didn't hear it or you forgot, he said something to the effect of, you know, talking about LeGerald Vick, maybe addition by subtraction. And, you know, he said something like, you know, I don't have all the information here, but I did talk to the coaches and he ain't going to be back. He said something like that. Right. And I'm like, whoa, that was
Did he know that he probably wasn't supposed to say that?
Well, and then he sort of tried to qualify it with like, yeah, but I, you know, I'm not, I don't know all the information, but like, we just said you talked to the coaches. Like, so that seems pretty conclusive, but I don't know. I thought that was really weird for him to do, first of all. But even if it was a slip, I don't think it's surprising to anybody. I think we've talked about this. I came out on, you know, kind of just, you know, whatever, you hear some stuff and I don't know if it's true or whatever, but I didn't think he'd be back at all. I think his time at Kansas is done. He will not have a senior speech. It is over. It is done. And then you see what the team's done since then. And I think it solidifies it even more, but you know, if he has gone and, you know, found Jesus or got his mind right or, you know, whatever, wild thing, went and found his jacket and his new haircut so he can come back and pitch well again.
Two major league references in a single podcast.
You like that? You like that? So something needs to, actually there's two Major League Two references. But the point is, like, if he has convinced Bill Self that he has done all of that, then I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. Because at that point, that's all that matters. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I know any information more than anybody else, but just, you know, the whisperings I'm hearing makes it seem like it's not going to happen. It's over.
Now, apparently Bill Self told Mellinger, I think I saw today, that something to the effect of if he does, you know, get his stuff figured out at home, he is, you know, we would expect him back or something. He said something like that on Twitter I saw a couple hours ago. So, you know, Bill Self has not ruled it out, you know, publicly. So I guess it's still a possibility.
Okay. All right, Kevin. Well, let's wrap it up. We've got two huge games coming up in the next couple of days. Texas Tech on Saturday and K-State on Big Monday. Predictions?
I got KU winning 64-62 down in Lubbock.
All right.
Low scoring game.
With an Andrew Wiggins put back at the end.
I don't care who puts it back as long as it gets in.
You remember that game?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was during a Jayhawk Dog podcast watch party.
Oh, that's right. We haven't done one of those in a minute.
Yeah. Any interest, folks?
It'd probably be the same people.
Which is fine.
I'm not sure we have a lot of new listeners. I think we have the same listeners for the past 6.5 years, which is okay. We love you guys.
Which is just fine.
It's just fine. But
and then K-State, what do you think?
KU wins 76-69.
Okay.
I like 41 better. But
yeah.
I think we're going to win both games. I said, Andrew, after that Oklahoma State game that I was in person at and saw front and center with really good seats. I was in the sixth row with awesome seats. I saw Mitch's dunk. That's when I got inspired by Mitch. And it's also when I got inspired by the team that something has clicked. And it was after kind of all the stuff had gone down with Vic and everything else. And I'm usually not Mr. Sunshine on this podcast. You know that about Kansas. And I felt really good about this team, and I still do. So prove me wrong, Kansas, or don't prove me wrong. Prove me right. That'd be better.
All right, we've got two things for you. One, hit us up on Twitter and tell us if you'd go to another Jayhawk Talk watch party. We haven't had one in like 3 years. Two, go listen to Mitch on Mitch Lightfoot over and over again on this podcast and tell Kevin how good it is.
Or you know, like, you know,
tell him your favorite lines.
Constructive criticism. Yeah.
Constructive.
I would be interested in the favorite line, though, because some of the lines were fun to write. All right. Let's get out of here.
Let's
get these dubs. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can find us at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops. Get out there and leave us an iTunes review if you haven't done that. 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a comment. It helps us to get the pod out to new listeners. Andrew, we need some new listeners. But we love our old listeners. We love all of you. Rock Chalk. We'll catch you next week after these two dubs. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it because we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court.
I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it.